Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Shishi, the sixth Perek in the Hilchas Yibam Chalitza, in the Rambam's Sefer Nashim, which now in the previous Perakim that we defined what is Yibam, what is Chalitza, now we talk about the brothers and the Yavamis that are appropriate to have Yibam and or Chalitza. So the Rambam begins Halacha Alf, defining four types of Yavamim, four types of brothers in their relationship with this Halacha of Yibam and Chalitza. Says the Rambam, Yesh Achim, there are brothers, Shiroyim Liyibam, Oy L'Chalitza, that they're appropriate to do either one. They could choose to do either the Yibam, which is to marry the Yavama, or to do Chalitza. Now, the Yesh Achim, there are brothers, She'enim Rum, Loy Liyibam, V'loy L'Chalitza. They're not fit to do either one, not Yibam and Chalitza, and V'enim Zika Klal. And that's because there's no bond between them and the Yavama at all. Rather, the Yavama is immediately permitted to go ahead and marry another person without chalitza, like a regular widow that does not have the halacha of the zika of Yibum. Then there are a third category of brothers. Shavuin lechalitza, they're appropriate to have the mitzvah of chalitza, but they're not appropriate to do Yibum. And then the Yeshachan, they are brothers, shemruim leyibum, veinrim lechalitza, that actually they're fit to do Yibum and not chalitza. So essentially, with these two variables, you can have four different types of categories, depending how you define either all, nothing, one, not the other, or the other, and not that one. Says Ram in Halacha Beis, Ve'elehem she'en lehem zika klal. So Ram opens up with those that have no zika bond at all, and they are sris chama. If, let's say, the yavam was born castrated, where he never had an opportunity to have children, ovan dregnis, who has both genders, signs of gender of male and female. And the reason for them, why there's no Zika bond at all, is because they're not fit to have children. And not only that, but they never had an opportune time in their life from when they were born to father a child. In contrast, as we'll see later on regarding Sris Adam, if a person was castrated manually, where he had a Shasa Kesha, here these individuals never had, and therefore they've never been included in the category of having the Lacha of Yibam, which is all about fathering a child from his dead brother. Halacha Gimel. Now, ve'il miyabim v'loichot. Next category, these are people who could do Yibum, but they can't do Chalitza, which are hacheresh v'ashayt v'akon, deaf, mute, mentally deranged, or minor. Mishne in de behem das lachlis, because these individuals are always considered that they don't have intelligence. Hence, for the law of Chalitza, which the Ram had mentioned in Perek Dal Halacha Design, that they both have to be doing it with the intention and the lishma of Chalitza, and they don't have das. Now, in contrast, they could do yibum because the bia doesn't need to have das. It's just to have a maisa bia, an act of cohabitation, which the Rambam himself in Perek Beis had said that the bia with the Yavama could even be where it was done b'shoigig, by mistake, without intentionality. So, as long as you have a maisa bia, they could do an act, which these individuals could, as long as he's over 9 years old, or the chersh shaita. They could do yibum, but they can't do chalitza. Now, however, the Rambam clarifies, says, Ukshim Acherish, when the deaf mute is going to do Yibum, Eini Maitzi La'ilam. So then he can never, ever remove this Yavama, because Shabilasi Aisa Aisa Eish says Gemur, the Bia itself, make this Yavama into his regular wife as a married woman. Now, he can't give, because they, as we said, although he doesn't have Das, the Bia of the Yavama doesn't need Das. Now, the Engerish of Gerish and Gemur, but now to divorce her, he wasn't able to do Chalitza, so he has to do Yibum, but now that she's his wife, he can't divorce her because he doesn't have Das to be Megash, as Rambam says in Perek Bezalachas Gerish, and you have to have Das when you're divorcing. Now, this is all talking about when his Yavama is coming from his brother that was a mentally sane person, which their marriage was a biblical Kedushin. And therefore, the Zika bond that he has with her is also biblical. And therefore, the get of a cheresh, which only rabbinic cannot remove that Zika bond that's biblical. But if, let's say, the Yavam is from his brother that died was also a cheresh, which that was only rabbinic, then just like that marriage was with Remiza, he would also be able to divorce with Remiza. But he was talking about where his brother was a pikeach, and therefore, he would never be able to divorce this Yavam ever. And also, when Tesha shouldn't be a mechash Yibim, when the 9-year old, we said he cannot do chalitza, but he could do Yibum. When he does Yibum, then if he also doesn't want to remain married to her, he wouldn't be able to divorce until he becomes an adult, like we explained in Perek Hei Aloch Yitches, because he also cannot give a divorce. And therefore, he would have to wait till she becomes an adult. Halacha Dalad, next category. This group, they could only do Chalitza and not Yibum. And they are Hasvekas. They are the women that there's a doubt. For example, Shaisasvek Erval Achim. If let's say that his brother who passed away had married one of two sisters. We don't know which one he got engaged to. So it comes out, each one of them is a safek achayis ishta. Each one is a doubt, is it his real wife's sister, because we don't know which one it is. So if this Yavama was a Suffolk Erva on his brother who passed away, or Ufritzua Daka, if let's say the Yavam had his testicles crushed, Ukroshafcha, or his male member got cut, not naturally, but rather manually, Vakietzben Mimini Aseris, or all types of castration where his testicles were cut, or if he's missing one of them, or if they were pierced, or Vazakan Beyaser, or someone that's very old, Chatosha Kaicha Bekashal, this Yavam, he really lost his virility, he lost his vigor, and he's weak, and therefore he cannot cohabit and father a child. These are individuals that do chalitza and not yibum. Now, Vimbal Sris Adam, if let's say an individual that was castrated manually and not because of an illness, so he's included in Petzua Daka in this category of crushed testicles. If he cohabits with the Yavama Kana, he has acquired her. And the reason why is Shari Haisalei Shasakesha. This individual had an opportune time before he was castrated that he was able to father a child. Now he cannot, but again, he was considered in the category of doing Yibum. So therefore, there's a Kenyan, who might be get. But now he has to divorce her with a get, Neshu Asa Lava Bakal, because a Jewish woman is not permitted to marry a Petzua Daka, man with crushed testicles. Now, in contrast, if let's say he became castrated through an illness, then he would be permitted. And so too, the elderly person would be permitted to remain with the Yavama. But here, the Sris Adam, so he acquires her, because ultimately he had a Sasa Kaiser, but he would have to divorce her because he's forbidden to be married to a regular Jewish woman. Now, Vatumtum, which is a person that doesn't show any signs of gender, it's not clear if he's male or female, he also has to chalitza and not to yibum. Neshu safik, because he's a doubt. In other words, can't do yibum because he can't. And chalitza, he's doing because of doubt, because maybe he's a male. Now, obviously, if there's brothers, he doesn't do chalitza, because maybe he's a girl, and the yivam is not going to be exempted. But if he's the only brother, then he'll do chalitza, because maybe he's a male. Now, vim nikra b'nim tzadzachah, and let's say that skin which covers the genital area, it tears, and you see that there's a male member, and he's a male. So then, then if he wants to, he can do chalitza. If he wants to, he can do yibum, which is like any regular brother. And so to usharach, and that was the third category. And says the Rambam, usharach, and all the other brothers, they're oichaltsin miyam, and that's the fourth category. They can do either chalitza or yibum. So those are four types of yivamen. Again, either, like we just said, either they could do either chalitza or yibum, or they don't have any zik at all, they don't do chalitza or yibum, like we said, this was chaman and dragoness. And then there are those who do yibum and not chalitza, because it's interesting that they don't have the das, so they can't do the chalitza, but the yibum doesn't require that, like a chershet b'katan. And then we have those that only do chalitza and not yibum, because either of a suffix, or because that they don't fit into the category of being married to her, so you can't do yibum, but they still have the halacha of the general context of doing yibum, and therefore they're going to do chalitza and not yibum. Now, halacha hey, now the Rambam moves on to the four types of yivam mois, regarding the women, their aspect as it relates to being fit for Yibum Chalitza. Says Ram, yes, Yivam is there are, because we were just speaking up until now, the variables as it relates to the men, to the brothers. Now he says, yes, Yivam is there are the Yivamis, which are the wives, the widows, Shein Ru'uyas la Chalitza Yibum, that there are some that are fit for doing Chalitza or Yibum. Now, the yes, Yivam is there are some Yivamis, Shein Ru'uyas la Chalitza la Yibum, not Chalitza and not Yibum. And therefore, in Alein Zika Klal, they don't have a bond at all. Umetaris la Nosel Lazar, they're permitted to get married to someone else right away. Then, a third category, same idea as with the men, here with the women, that those that are fit for chalitza but not for yibum. And then there are yivamis that are fit for yibum and not for chalitza. As Ram explains, these are those that could do yibum but cannot do chalitza, which is equivalent, really, what we said in Halacha Gimel. If she's a deaf mute, if she's mentally deranged, or if she's a minor, because they don't have intelligence to read and to understand, where they can't say the parasha that they need to say by chalitza. So therefore, the chalitza of the charesha actually is totally insignificant. It's like not even chalitza psula, because she's deficient in two areas. One is that she can't say what she needs to say, and B, she does not have das. Contrast, if either one of them is just mute, but not deaf mute, so even though they can't speak, they still have intelligence, and that would just be considered what's called a chalitza psula. Would be this, like, it's invalid, but it is a chalitza. And so to a minor, even though she does not have intelligence, but she could say, there's also a chalitza psula. In contrast, a chareshes doesn't have either one of those. That's like as if nothing was done at all. You can't do chalitza. There's nothing in the chalitza at all. Now, v'mrotza yobim legorish acharesh. So again, they could only do yibum and nachalitza. V'mrotza yobim legorish acharesh is beget achashi yibuloisa. Now, if the yobim wants to divorce this deaf mute, in contrast, when we said the man is deaf mute, he's stuck with her. He can't divorce because we need his das. But if she's a deaf mute and he wants to divorce a beget achashi yibuloisa, would get after that he cohabited with her, because again, he can't do chalitza with her. He could only do yibum with her. Then harizim legorish, he could divorce her because by a get, which is now, it's like a regular marriage, you don't need the woman's awareness, you don't need her consciousness or her consent. Halacha Zayin, next category. These are the women that you can only do chalitza with and not yibum. And they are Isur Lavan, if there's a negative prohibition in the Torah of being married to them, Mashnias, or if they're the rabbinic secondary category of Arayas, or Isur Asay, if they're forbidden by a dint of a positive commandment, Kamishas Bar, like we're going to explain later on, Halacha Yud. Now, V'chol Isha, she's sveik migureshes. Any woman that it's in doubt if she was divorced from her first husband, for example, he threw her a get and it was not clear if it's closer to her or closer to him. So then chalitza v'mesibemes, she also, the halach is going to be only chalitza and not yibum, because shemi yivka be'erva, because maybe this yavam is going to encounter a woman that's forbidden to him of karis, like an erva, because if it's true that his brother who passed away had divorced her, asur la mishum erva, she's forbidden him as an erva, even if his brother subsequently dies around any children, she was already divorced, and therefore she's forbidden to him. So you can't do yibum, but again, you would have to do chalitza because maybe she wasn't divorced. Now, aval mishi mukadesh is la'achav b'svei kedushin, but let's say, not a suffic gerushin, but let's say this woman that's now widowed, actually, there's a doubt if his brother had actually even gotten engaged to her, where he had thrown the money of Kedushin to her and it wasn't clear who was closer to, then that Rei Kishar Kol Yavamas, then she'll have the status as Ola the Yavamas, and that is a chalitza, you can do either chalitza or yibim tar. Shein kan davar lachash, like he says, there's nothing really to be concerned over here, because Maman of Shach, either way you look at it. If she was engaged, so there's a mitzvah to do yibim. If she wasn't engaged to the brother, then she's like a regular, random woman, we're unrelated, and therefore he's permitted to marry her. To the wife of a deaf mute, Uzikena, an elderly woman, Bakara, and a barren woman, Harin Kashar Kal Yavamas, they're like all of the Yavamas, which is Ratzah Chaylitz, Ratzah Mayam, if you want, you can do Chalitza or Yibam. Why? Because Shazikena, Bakara, because an elderly woman and a woman that's barren, which through illness or through some wound, although they're not able to have children right now, and the whole point is to have children, but Haitzel and Shazakash, as I mentioned this idea before, they at one time had an opportune time. So therefore that is including them in the category. It's only those which never had an opportunity, as we're going to see shortly, that they're totally excluded. But these women are included in the halacha of either Yibum or Chalitza. And halacha Chesram moves on to the next category. These are the women that are exempt from Chalitza and from Yibum, which means say that they have no Zika at all. They are Eishes Reschama, the wife of a man who was born castrated, Vandragonus, or if he was, the husband was Andragonus, or Ve'eshes HaShaita Ve'eshes HaKatan, the wife of a mentally deranged person, or the wife of a minor, or Ve'ailness, if she's an Ailness, which she's also born, that she's incapable of having children, Umishihi Erva, or if she's an Erva that's forbidden to the Yavim because she's related to the brother-in-law, to the Yavim, and would be liable for cohabitation Karas. And why all these excluded from the whole parish of Yibim and Chalitza? Because the Pasuk says in the Baruch Chavei, it says, V'lo yimachah shmei Yisrael, the reason why you have to do Yibim is that the brother who died without any children, his name should not be deleted from the Jewish people. Now, that's Pratlis Reschama Vadreganis, that's excluding the obligation of doing Yibim on his wife, if the one who passed away was born incapable of having children, or an Andragonus, who was also not, Sheshma Mochi, their name was always obliterated. However, in Rum Leilim and Chiz B'yasim, they were born not able to have children. So Arim came in different aspects, so that they're own, in their own category, and they were not included in this halacha of Yibim Chalitza. So too, the pasuk continues, V'hoya b'char shetelet, so it's going to be the firstborn that's going to be born. Pradla Ailness, that excludes if the wife is an Ailness, she ain't a ruilet mitchil zbriyasta, that she was never fit to have a child, so there's no asher telet, because the whole point is that the firstborn from that union, that child's going to take the name of the father who passed away. What do you mean, asher telet? The Yavama, if the Ailness is not fit to have a child, so she's excluded. And when the pasuk says, Lisi Eishes Hames, that the wife of the one who passed away should not go and marry someone else, rather she's obligated to have the Zika bond with the Yavam, that's Pradla Eishes Shaita B'Kat, and that excludes the wife of a mentally deranged or a minor, Nisha'elam Eishes Kla, because it's not Eishes Hames. There's no halacha of marriage for a Shaita or a Katan. And when it says lekacha loy leisha, that he should take her as a wife, that's prad la'erva. That excludes if the yavama is an erva she'en la'bad lekuchen, where kedushin is not taifis in the erva. So that obviously excludes her from this whole category, as we see from all these drashas of the pasuk by yim chalitza, from being in the zika of either chalitza or yim. Now halacha tes Ram continues regarding if the yavama is forbidden on the yavam. Says Ram, kitzad yavama she erva yavama. Now he clarifies the last thing we just said. How do you have a case where the yavama, the widow, is an erva, a chi of karas, to the relationship that she has with the yavam? So again, for example, shahis, and the reason why that's important is because obviously his brother, it was not, because then it wouldn't have been his wife, because kedushin is not teifis in an erva. So it was his brother's wife, but it's not, and it wasn't an erva to him, but it's an erva to the yavam. It's again, for example, shahis achis ishtay, because they're talking about where his sister-in-law is not only his brother's wife, it's also his wife's sister, or his wife's mother, or his wife's daughter. Oh, so that makes it only an erva for the yavam, not for his brother who passed away. That woman, as we mentioned in the previous halacha, is totally exempted from the whole halacha and the whole parsha of Yibin Chalitza. He doesn't have on her a bond at all, like it says in the pasuk. He's going to take her as a wife and do Yibim, which tells you, only that which is fit for taking the Kedushin Tezibah, and that Kedushin will take effect in her, he's a Kukul Yavim. She has a bond to the Yavim, but an Erva which has no Kedushin to be Tefis is not included in the parsha at all. Now, halacha Yud. However, let's say the Yavama was forbidden on her Yavam, Israel Lav, only by dint of a negative prohibition. But again, to the husband who was permitted, for example, let's say the Kayin that was a Chal married a kosher woman, where she became a Chalala by having Bia with a Chal. So it comes out that the Yavam, who is a regular Kayin, is she was permitted to her husband because her husband wasn't forbidden to her. She only became a chalala subsequently, but now she's forbidden to her yavam. Or let's say she's forbidden to her yavam based on a positive commandment, like Chos Tishni, or she was a secondary erva. So Arizah chaletzav lemisabemis. So here the halacha is, as we mentioned in halacha zayin, here she's forbidden to do yibum, but she's going to do chalitza. Now, neimar tzricha chalitza. And the question is, why does she require chalitza? What do you mean? She's not fit for him. He cannot fulfill b'lekocha loy le'isha. The reason is nishiyesh b'lekucha. And this is what we had mentioned before in contrast to the erva. Here, kedushin is taifas. However, kedushin is ben harin zekukas liyavim. Although it's forbidden because of isra lav or isra asay or because of rabbinic isra, but harin zekukas liyavim, but there is a bond to the yavim because you see kedushin would take effect. And the truth is, moreover, actually, we're actually going the other way. First, we're asking, okay, why doing chalitza? Saying, no, there is a zika bond over here, although there's iser, but you see that kedusha would be taifas. Now, because actually, the truth is actually that he would even be able to do yibum. Why able to do yibum? There's a negative provision in the Torah to marry this woman. The reason is, shayibum mitzvah saseh, doing yibum is a positive commandment. Anytime you find a contradictory positive commandment and negative prohibition, which is the negative prohibition to marry this woman, but the positive commandment of marrying her for yibum, the halacha is yavei aseh v'yitches leisaseh. The positive commandment comes along and overrides and pushes away the negative prohibition. So the truth is, he should be allowed to do yibum. But the rabbis decreed that no, he should not do the yibum on a woman that he has a negative prohibition, and not even the secondary erva. And the reason is a gzera. The rabbinic concern, what's the concern? Because maybe he's going to cohabit with her not just once, but a second time. That bia, doing it a second time, is forbidden. The ancient mitzvah, there's no mitzvah over there. Why? The positive commandment of doing yibum is only the first act of cohabitation, which is enough to plant a seed to have a child. And therefore, actually, since biblically he's actually permitted to go and have the first bia, because really you would say, if he goes and violates this rabbinic decree of not doing yibum, and he does the first act of bia with this woman that's a negative prohibition of the positive commandment, for sure we don't have to tell you that this, what we're about to tell you, would apply if she's only rabbinically forbidden to him as a secondary erva. So then he has biblically had a bona fide, full-fledged kinyan in this yavama. And therefore, at this point, all he has to do to remove her is with a get. Again, he has to remove her because no more mitzvah. But again, the kinyan took effect. And therefore, her and all her co-wives are all permitted to marry other people because they were exempted with this biblical fulfillment of yibum with the first bia that he did with this isra lav and isra aseh. Now, if you have a yavama that was widowed from having already had marriage. Uvola Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is the Yavam. And he cohabits with this widow. Loi Nifta Tzarasa, the co-wife is not exempted, which usually if one of them have Bia, the other ones are exempted. Here the co-wife is not going to be exempted. She'ena se doiches leisa se vase, because here it's worse off. Because the Kohen Gadol has a positive commandment and a negative prohibition of marrying a Be'ula. He's supposed to marry only a Besula, and that's a negative and a positive. Because in contrast, of let's say she was a widow only from Erison, which should still be a Besula, so it would only be a negative prohibition where he's not taking Almana. But she'd still be a Bibsuleha, because she never had Nisun, so she never had cohabitation. There actually, it would be different. But here where it's a Lese and Ase, so then that does not exempt the co-wives. Now, although Kedushin is going to take effect, and it's going to exempt her, but not the co-wives. And the reason is, since the acquisition that he's having in her is not, it's not full-fledged biblically, because he's still forbidden to go ahead and marry her, even the first time, because Dase is not Dirlesev Ase. So this is like someone in the middle, so therefore her co-wife at least is not permitted to someone else until Chalitza is done to permit her to marry to Azar. Halachit Beis Ram continues regarding the Yavama that was forbidden to her husband. Says the Ram, Hoisei Yavama Erva al Bal. Let's say the Yavama was an Erva on her husband. Kugain, for example, Sha'avar, Aita. Let's say the original husband who passed away, either he violated or he made a mistake. And he didn't realize that he was doing something wrong, or he did realize, and he married his paternal sister. And now he died without any children. And now the wife is falling in front of his brother for Yibum. So it comes out which it's also his sister, because the Yibum is only the paternal brother, which he's also it's his paternal sister too, and she's the Erva on the Yavam too. So it says the Rama Ainzu Ishtai, this is not the wife of the brother who passed away. She Kedushin Tavisaba, because they might have been living together, acting as a wife, but Kedushin never took effect because she's an Erva. Therefore, she's not in the category of having Yibum done with her or even the Chalitza being done with her, because she wasn't the wife of the dead person. Therefore, if she had a co-wife, meaning the one who passed away had another wife that was permitted to him, that co-wife, you could do either chalitza or yibum, because like a regular man who died without any children with this one wife, because that other woman that was ever wasn't even a wife. Now, if this woman that was an erva to the one who passed away is actually muteres liyavim, is actually permitted to the brother that's alive. For example, let's say his brother violated and married his mother-in-law, which that has nothing to do with the brother. So it's an error for the one that passed away, but not for the yavim. V'ratza yavim lisa liyavim tzeras. And now what the yavim wants to do, he wants to marry his brother's mother-in-law and to do yibim to the co-wife. So it's just beyavim, he can do that, because these are not two yavamas from bayis echad, which you're not allowed to do, because the error for the mother-in-law is not from this house. She wasn't even considered married to him at all. So therefore, doing bi with her does not exempt the co-wife. And therefore, he could do yibum on the one wife, which was a co-wife, we thought, but really only one wife, and the mother-in-law, who's the erva on the one who passed away, he could marry too, and that's okay. Halacha Yud Gimel. He said, Yavama Asura al Bala Mishum Lav. If the Yavama was forbidden on her husband because of a negative prohibition, because of a positive commandment, or she's a secondary erva to her husband, for example, let's say she was a widow that was engaged to the Kohen Gadol, his brother, and passed away. And the Yavam is a Kohen Hed. So it comes out that she was forbidden to her husband with a negative prohibition because she was a widow, which is forbidden to the Kohen Gadol. But the brother, the Yavam, he's a regular Kohen Hed who was permitted to marry an Almana. As the Rambam says, "V'lohaisa asur al Yavam mitzad el tzadim." And whatever this was, a negative prohibition, positive commandment, secondary Arab, that was only a problem for her husband and not for the Yavam. So she's permitted to the Yavam because she was a wife of the husband who passed away, and there's no iser on that brother-in-law. Except, an interesting case, if a man had a wife, a regular wife, he divorced her, she got married to someone else, and then the husband remarried her, and then he died. There, actually, the Yavam has to do chalitza and not yibum. The reason for that is a svara, because if the man that she was permitted to, she subsequently became forbidden to, which was her husband, but once she got married to someone else, she was forbidden to her husband. So the one that she was always forbidden to, which is the Yavam, isn't it all the more so that his whole strength comes from his brother's marriage, who his brother himself was forbidden to her. So for sure the Yavam is going to be forbidden to her, and therefore he can't do Yibam, but of course the Kedushin was Teifa, so therefore he has to do Chalitza. So too, if the Yavama was a doubt if she was an erva on the yavam. Or it wasn't clear if she's an erva on her husband. Here also, since you're not sure, she might be a regular yavama, might be not, because we're not sure it's an erva or not. So out of doubt, you have the chalita and not the yibam. Therefore, Misha kiddush isha b'svei kiddushin. If someone gets engaged to a woman, and it's not clear if that was a valid kiddushin or not. V'achach meis achiv shayinoy sa'achleisa. Then, his brother, who's married to the sister. So this guy is still alive. The guy who, we're not sure, was that a kiddushin or not? The rabbis are looking into it. Not sure what happened. But the brother, actually, was married to the sister. And he died without any children. But nafli li'ibum, and now his brother's wife, now falls for him for yibum. She's sveka chay sister. We're not sure. Is that his wife's sister, which is an erva? It might be his wife's sister. It might not be, because it might not be his wife. Again, that woman you have to chalitza on, and not yibum. And actually, umaitzias ishta, quote unquote, which we're not sure if it's really his wife, umaitzias ishta beget, he has to divorce his wife or to get misafik, out of doubt, and they're staying asurus alav, and both of them are going to be forbidden, as the Rambam explains. Yevimtoi neshi sveik erva, his yevama, from his brother who passed away, he has to do chalitza, he can't do yibum, because she might be an erva, she might be his wife's sister. But varisasi, the woman that he's maybe engaged to, Mimneshi sveik krevas chalutzase, because it's a doubt if it's the relative of his chalutza, because this yevama is not a definite chalutza. If the woman he was engaged to was really engaged to him, comes out that really the yevama, his brother's wife, was really exempt from having chalutza at all because she was a chayis ishtoi, and therefore the chalutza is insignificant. If his the woman he thinks is his wife was not really engaged to him, then actually the yevama was had zikat him, and therefore was a valid chalitza. So it comes out that his yevama was a safek chalutza. We're not sure if she's really his chalutza, and therefore his arusa, the woman that we weren't sure if he was engaged to or not, is the relative of the woman that we're in doubt if it's his chalutza. Shikishni, which that has halacha like a secondary erva, kamish brand, like we explained in Perak Alpha Lachid Gimel, therefore you would have to do chalitza. And not, and therefore he would have to divorce his wife because of it's a suffix if she's the kariv of his chalutza. Halacha Yudalet Rambam continues regarding the iser known as tsaras erva, the co-wife of the erva. Says Rambam, Mishnei Achiv, if someone's brother passed away, he left over two wives. Ha'achas asur la mishum erva, one of them was forbidden to him as an erva because let's say it was his daughter, his brother married his daughter. Vashniya in erva, the second wife wasn't the erva to him, was some other woman that his brother had married. Says the Rambam, k'shem she'erva b'tura b'nachalitza m'yibim, just like, as we explained this already, that the erva is exempt from the whole parasha, no yibim, no chalitza, kach tzarasa b'tura, so to the co-wife is also exempt. V'loy nafal yizika kol ha'bayisa, and therefore there's no bond here with the yavam at all, with this, with his brother's widows. Shem, because it says in the pasuk, ashalo yivnes beis achim, that the brother that's not going to build his brother's house. What that teaches is bayish eshel lekuchin beiz men shiirtza. If it's a house that he could take whichever one of the co-wives that he wants to, who sheish leilav zika? That's where there's the bond. Bayish mekitzosa in yechel lebnoisa. But if it's a house that some of the house he can't build, shari in lebag lekuchin because he has no right to marry because again one of them is an ervo, let's say his daughter, then in the bayin of lemekitzosa shumud, then he can't even build the rest of it, meaning the other wife, which is permitted. So benimtzis actually comes out interestingly. Tsaras ha'erva, the co-wife of the erva, is an erva alav mishum eshes achiv. As we're going to develop this shortly, she herself is not just the co-wife of an erva, she now has the status herself as an erva because it's his brother's wife, which, what's called shalei b'makom mitzvah, when you're the mitzvah purpose, which is a regular bona fide erva, shari ein lo yela zika, because it doesn't have a zika bond. So she remains with the issa eshes ach, shalei b'makom mitzvah, which is a regular erva. A person cannot marry his brother's wife, only in the situation when he doesn't have any children, that's the mitzvah of yimei chalitza. Now, lefik g'lifer, the says Ram halacha tezvav, since we're saying that the tsarsa erva itself is an erva, like a brother's wife when you don't have the mitzvah of yibum, so Reuven shemes, Reuven passed away. B'nichshtei noshmi leaves over two wives. Ha'achas erva al Shimon, one of them is an erva on his brother Shimon, let's say it's Shimon's daughter. Ushtein ruis Levi, but the third brother, Levi, it's not, none of them are related to him. They're both permitted to Levi. So in lo Shimon zika b'yizeh, like we explained in the previous halachos, so Shimon has no bond here at all on this house. V'yushtein techas zikas Levi, now they both have a bond to Levi. Now let's say Yivim Levi Achasman. Let's say Levi goes and does Yivim to one of the co-wives. She tsaras erva shel Shimon. Which one does he choose? He chooses the co-wife of the erva of Shimon. I mean, not Shimon's daughter, but the other wife. Voisli isha acheres meis Levi. Now Levi had another wife besides the woman that he did Yibum from the brother Reuven, and then Levi passed away without any children. V'naflu shtein levnei Shimon. Now both these wives are falling for Yibum in front of Shimon. Shteim b'turis menachlitzim and yibim shimin, and both now are going to be exempt from achlitzim yibim from shimin. Why? Ha'achas, one of them is b'nishal ha'isit tzaras erva. She was the tzara of the ervo and became forbidden to him when Reuben had died, where she was a co-wife of his daughter. And therefore, she becomes herself like an erva. Now, Vashni, the second wife of Levi, b'nishit tzarasa, because she's the co-wife of Shimon's daughter, which we said the tzara's erva itself is like an erva, and now therefore the other wife is a tzara of her. And the chena dimitzara tzarasa. Same thing continues if, let's say, the co-wife of that co-wife. So let's say the co-wife of the co-wife of his daughter, which was the other wife of Levi, goes and does yibum to Yehuda, another brother. And Yehuda has another wife, and he does her out on the children, and falls in front of Shimon. Both are going to be usher. One's because tzara's tzarasa, which what became forbidden when she was like the Eshesach of Levi and therefore an Erva, and comes out that the other wife of Yehuda, the Tzara, is also a Tzara Serva, and this continues at Seifa Olam till no matter how many brothers there are. And the reason is to call Isha Shein Lo Alei Zikr, because any woman that does not have a bond to the Yavam, the Issa Eshesach Emedes Lo Olam retains forever the prohibition of a brother's wife. And therefore, it's like a bona fide Erva, which is going to make whenever she remarries someone else, even that co-wife, is going to make the next co-wife into an erva of tzaras erva. Halacha Tazayin, Ram continues on with another exemption from the halachas of Yibam, known as v'chein eishes, and so to the wife of achiv shlohoi bar lamai. If he had a brother that wasn't with him in the world at the same time, meaning this brother was born after the brother passed away without any children, his wife, since this yavam does not have a zika bond, the one that was born after his brother had died, although she's a widow and she doesn't have any children, he never had a bond with her. Because remember, the pasuk says over there, "Ki yeshuva acham yachta." When brothers were dwelling together, then there's an obligation of one brother to do yibum, which is achi yeshuva shnei ba'olam, until both of them were in the world at the same time. So harizu erva of la'olam shemeshesach. So here it's the same idea. It's not only that there is an exemption; she actually becomes an erva of eshesach ubeiter sarasa. And again, she'll exempt her co-wife. As Ram continues aloch yitzan, kates at house. So let's say Reuben shemes. Let's say Reuben passed away, v'nich isha, and he left over a wife. The Nafalib Nei Shimon, and now she falls in fatib to Shimon, the brother. The Acha Shemes Reuben, and now after the Reuben passed away, Noi Levi, Levi, a third brother, was only born after Reuben had passed away. So, Ben Shinod Levi, Koyin Shimon, Le Shimon, now whether Levi is being born before Shimon does Yibim, Ben Shinod Acha Shima, whether he's born after he had done Yibim, which is a machlikis in the Gemara, and the Ram is passing like that mandama, that doesn't make a difference. But ultimately, he's born after one of his brothers, that wife, had been a widow before he came to the world. So Reuben's wife is an erva on Levi forever because she was Eishas Achav Shlohoi by Lamai. Lafigra, therefore, that's where it continues. Not only, okay, is she exempt, but she becomes an erva of Eishas Achav Shlohoi by Malka Mitzah. It may Shimon, if Shimon dies now without any children, and now here that co-wife and the tzara fall under the Levi, both of them are exempt, because here we have that the woman herself, the Eishas Achav Shlohoi by Lamai, is an erva, and now her tzara is a tzara's erva. Halacha Yitchas. Now let's say Asa Shimon Maimah Bivim. Here's what gets a little bit more interesting. Let's say Shimon did not do Yibam. He did Maimer in the Yavama, who is Eishes Reuben, the wife of Reuben. Umeis Koyed Mashiach Nesaisa. Now he died before he actually consummated, before he did Yibam with her. But he did Maimer. So here's a different halacha. This Hari Levi Chalitz Letzarasa. Here Levi has to do Chalitza to the co-wife, and she's not exempt because she's a Tzara's Erva, because she's not literally a Tzara, because Shimon never did Yibum to her, only gave her a Maimer. Now, Vilem Yabim, but neither can he do Yibum because Maimer ultimately does acquire her partially. So she is somewhat this quasi tsaris erva rabbinically, as the Ram says, She'ina Maimer Kinni be Yavama Kinni Gamma, because Maimer is not a full fledged Kinni in the Yavama, like we explained in Perakei, Alacha Beis, and Alacha Gimel. So therefore, if Shimon only did a Maimer, it would be this quasi Saras Erva of Eishas Achav Shlohoi by Lamai, and therefore Levi would have to do Chalitza and not Yibam. Now the same thing actually would be, even if Shimon didn't even do Maimer in the Yavama and he dies, the Tzar would be Chalitza of Lamai Zabemis, because from the moment that there's a Zika to Shimon, she already becomes like somewhat engaged to him. So it comes out that it was the wife of Shimon, and therefore it was like a Tzara through the Zika. All the Rambam is coming to tell us is that even if he had done a Maimer, it's not like he was married to her to exempt the tzara totally from Chalitza and from Yibum, because again, the Maimer is not Koyin the Kinyan Gamma, so it still remains in this quasi, but the quasi would be even if he didn't even do a Maimer at all. Now, a related discussion with this idea is in Halacha Yates, the Rambam continues regarding the prohibition of a tzara of a woman that was forbidden to her husband. It says the Rambam like this: Isha shezinta tachas bayla beratz no be'edim. If a woman was mizana, she had an extramarital affair when she was still married with her husband, and she did this beratz, and she did this with consent, u'be'edim, and there were witnesses that she was mizana. Now, umeis kedim shegirshena. Now, however, the husband died before he was able to divorce this woman who was unfaithful. V'nafal lefnei yavam. Now, he died without any children. Now, his wife falls for yibam to the brother-in-law. Halacha is ari b'turim nechlitzim yibam. She's actually exempt from chalitza from yibam. And mechin tzarasa, so to her co-wife. Ki ilo heise erva al yavam. It was as if she was an erva on the yavam, which, again, like we said, the erva exempts not only herself, but also the tzara. Why is she an erva? Neshet tumah k'suvah b'karais, because it used the terminology of tumah. That, like what it's written by the Arayis, meaning by the Arayis, the tapasim mayikra al titam b'chaleila. Don't become defiled by having relations to any one of these Arayis. Now, this woman who is mizana, it says similarly the same terminology of tumah. Shem, like it says in the pasuk, v'yinitma. It says by the woman that was mizana, and she became tummy. So essentially, it's saying that a woman who's mizana tachas baila has the same status as an erva, which again, for the laws of yibum, means to say that not only is she exempt, but she's also going to exempt her tzaris. Now, that's a woman that we know definitively was mizana. Avasaita, but run the suspected adulterous woman, shemeis bala koyim sheyashkenu mehamar, where her husband died before he got a chance to give her the bitter waters to drink, which it inspects her to see if she really was mizana or not. Or let's say she's not from the women that drink these waters. For example, she was only engaged, or the wife of a lame person, all those which Rambam explains in Hilchos Saita that don't drink the waters. Elabas gerushin, rather she's supposed to be divorced. So I raise a chaletzis. So that woman, if she falls for yibum to her yavam, he's going to do chalitza to her because she's not definitively tamei, so she does not have that halacha that we mentioned before of being an erva. But neither could he do yibum because if she's forbidden to her husband, the saita is forbidden to her husband, so then the man that she's forbidden to, the yavam, for sure here where he's coming, his whole strength is from the first husband who's forbidden, for sure he's going to remain forbidden, therefore the yavam cannot do yib. Now the maisel tzar, if she had a co-wife, harit tzarasa mutez, actually a co-wife is permitted, and v'chaletzes and misabemes, she could do chalitzo, or she could do yibam, like the tzara of any chiyub alavin, which could do chalitzo or yibam, it's only that of an erva that's exempt from chalitza yib. Halacha chav. So there's two women, two yivamas, that are from one house, meaning from one husband who died without any children. Shahisach has mentioned the yavam, that one of them was a secondary erva on the yavam, and this is like what we just mentioned in the previous halacha, a mechiv alavin, or which is just a negative prohibition, a mechiv ase, or just a positive commandment, a islandess, or let's say that one of those women was a woman that's not fit to give birth, which, as we mentioned previous halacha chas, is exempt from chalitza and yivam, but again, it's not an erva. So her co-wife is permitted or yiba. Now, Abalachid is the yivim, but let's say that some of this chalitza is yivama. And then the sister of the woman that he did chalitza, a yima, or her mother, or kaitzben, or similar relatives, goes v'nisal achim and gets married to his brother. The loy isha is amazed, and that brother, besides having gotten married to the relative of the woman that he did chalitza to, he has another wife, and he does it on the children. Now both of them fall in front of him. So kashem shekrevis chalutza asurulav, just like the relative of the woman he did chalitza is forbidden on him, because as the Rambam had said in Perak Aleph, that the woman that he does chalitza to is like the woman that he divorced, and you're forbidden in the relatives of the woman you divorced, so to the relatives of the chalitza, kach tzarasa asur, so to the co-wives are going to be forbidden. And now varishtein kishnius, so now both of them are like a secondary ever, because this halacha of chalutza, the relatives, is only rabbinic. So like any issur that you have, we don't allow you to say asid chalitza. We said you got to do chalitza and you can't do yim. Now, umnema asu tzaras karevus chalitza. But says the Rambam, why did they say it's forbidden to marry the co-wife of the relative of the chalitza? Because as it is, the relative of the chalitza itself is rabbinic law. Why do we say that the co-wife is also forbidden? Neshemes chalefes betzaras chalitza, because it actually gets confused with the co-wife of the chalitza herself. Because when the woman goes to court to get a chalitza, she brings her sister as emotional support. Now, it's confusing which one's Rachel, which one's Leah. If we're going to say that you could do yibum to the co-wife of the relative of the chalitza, you might come to think that you could actually do yibum on the tzar of the chalitza itself, which that you're not allowed to. So therefore, because of that confusion, they said you can't even do yibum to the tzara of the krevus chalitzas. Halacha Chafav, the Rambam continues regarding the permissibility of the tzara of an erev. Says Ram, shtei yivamis haboisim v'vayisechem. If you have two yivamis that are coming from one house, meaning two wives of one man, sha'achas min erva liyavim. One of them is an erva on the yavim. V'arei ha'erva ayilanes. Now, although we had previously said that the tzara's erva is exempt, she's not. You can't do yivamichalitza. So it's like eshachas lehayiboy lama. Like eshalachas mitzvah. But let's say v'arei erva ayilanes. Here it's a double whammy. It's she's an erva, which is one entity, and then she's also an ayilanes. Then tzaras mutez, then the tzar is permitted, and that she could have chalitza or yibam. Now, what's the reason? Because since the ayilanes is not in the category of yibam chalitza, so it's like she's not, like almost like she doesn't exist, and therefore, her tzar is not really a tzar of an erva, because although that ayilanes is an erva, but that's only if she would have in the parsha, and then the issa erva is makes it forbidden, and therefore the tzar is a tzar's erva. But here's not because of an erva; she's an ayilanes. An ayilanes is not in the parsha at all, so it's like she's not there. V'nafal is the kasal tzaras v'lan, and therefore there's only the bond on the co-wife itself, and therefore she could have yibam chalitza. Pchinim gerish achiv es erva miyana. Another case is let's say his brother divorced the erva, or she was a katana and she did a refusal, which she could recluse herself from that marriage. Kodem shiyamis, before his brother died, without any children. Oh, or another case, shemesa b'chaye bala. She died when her husband was still alive. And then the brother dies. Oh, harit saras materas. Then the tzara of the erva is going to be permitted. Why? Because ve'enim, we don't say, once she was a co-wife of the erva, even for one moment, sometime during the marriage, before she got divorced, or before she died, etc., to ask Elohim that then the co-wife should be forever forbidden. Says Ram, no. She'ena tzara asur, because the co-wife is not forbidden as a tzara of an erva, achatiyat tzara's erva b'shas nefil yibam, until she's the co-wife of the erva at the time when yibam is happening. And since at the time when the husband's dying, she's not in the picture anymore, either because she was divorced, or didn't mean, or because she died, then the tzara, again, just like the previous halacha, that here in those cases, tzara's erva will be permitted to have yibam or chalitza. Let's say this woman that was an erva on the yavam was mukudeshes la'achav shemes, was engaged to his brother who passed away b'safik, was only in doubt. Immigration men b'safik, or she was divorced out of doubt. We're not sure if she was divorced or not. Oishesiketana haru lamoyin, or she was a minor that was fit to do miyun, but v'loy miyan ba'achav b'chay, but she didn't do miyun in her brother's lifetime. So even if this woman ultimately does mean in the Yavim, all these cases that we describe, here the tzara is going to do chalitza and not yibam. Well, we're in the first cases because you're not sure if this is a tzara of erva or not, because you're not sure if there was a kedushin, not sure if there was a gerushin. And even over here, by the katana, since at the time that the yibam was happening, she looked like a tzara's erva because the katana had not done mean yet, so you can't do yibam on the tzara, so that you don't come to disgrace the halacha of tzara's erva to think that you can do yibam, because here it has the appearance of a tzara's erva, and then we have the chalitza and not yibam. Halacha of gimel. Halacha tzara's erva. Let's say the tzara of an erva goes. When this is la'achar, she marries someone else. We said the tzara's erva has no halacha yibam chalitza. She can marry whoever she wants to. Problem is, v'alchach nimitz erva alnes. Now this is where it relates interesting back to what we said in halacha of alf. Let's say subsequently they find out that actually that erva was an alnes. So wait a second. Comes out that actually the co-wife had zika to the yibam, because like we said, if the erva is an alnes, which the alnes is not in the parashah b'chalitza, it's like she's not here, so then you're not a tzar of an erva. You're like, you're one zika. So it comes out this, that she married someone else, was inappropriate. So actually, teitzat tzar, mebalam yivam, now the tzar, this co-wife, who had married someone else, has to leave from the husband that she got married to, and from the yavam, because she's like a woman that was married with the zika and had relations with someone else. So she has to get a get from her husband, because condition was taifas, because it was only Yisrael Av, and she needs chalitza from her yavam, so to permit her to get married to someone else. Now the child's not a mamzer, because again, yavam lazar is only an Yisrael Chiv Alavin, and there's no mamzer from Chiv Alavin. Halach of Dalt. Yibim hayavam hatzara. Let's say the yavam had done yibim to the co-wife. Why? Neshedimu she'erva alnes. They thought, here the ear, it's the inverse. They thought the erva was an alnes, which we said, then you're not a tzara's erva. So then there's a zika to the yavam, so he did yibim. V'nimtza se'erva she'en alnes. Then it turns out actually there was a mistake. The erva actually was not an alnes, so it comes out she was really a tzara of an erva, which therefore she's forbidden to the yavam because of eshazach she'leibim akamitzah. So teitzmi yibam a beget. So she has to leave from the yavam with a get, because although she's from the Chiva Krisis, which is the Eishad Ach, Shalai B'Makam Mitzvah, and Kedusha is not Taifas, but she needs a get, because maybe people are going to say that the brother had divorced the erva before right before he died, and therefore the yimut the tzara is appropriate and comes out when he's going to release her as a married woman without a get. It's going to look like that you're releasing a married woman without a get. So therefore, that's why we rabbinically require a get. And vavod mamzer, the child's going to be mamzer because this is from a union of an erva which was forbidden to the yavam as a tzara's erva, which they thought it wasn't, but turns out it was. Now, Loch Havei, the Ram continues in a little more sophisticated case, where you have a tzara erva, but it's only a tzara of an erva through zika, which we're saying the zika is like this bond, where just automatically when this brother dies around their children, it's like this quasi-marriage to the Yavam. Says Ram, Shlesha Achim, if there's three brothers, Shnaim em nesun shtei achayis, two of them are married to two sisters, Ve'echem em nasa nachres, and the third one's married to an unrelated woman. Meis ha-nasa nachres, and then the one who is married to this unrelated woman, he dies around the children. Now it comes out that that woman now has zika of yibum to each one of these brothers who are married to his sisters. Then the achkach meis echad. Now, neither one of them had done yibum to this woman yet. Now, one of the mibala chayis, one of the brothers who's married to the sisters, he now dies without any children too. Now, his wife is forbidden on the other brother because of erva, because it's that guy's wife's sister, achay's sister. So now even that other unrelated woman, that one remaining brother has to chalit on her and not do yibum. Now, although that woman had not done yibum with anyone, but since that when the other brother was still alive, there was a zika bond with him, so it's like she's the tzara of achay's sister because of the zika, and therefore it cannot do yibum. Now, obviously you have to chalitza because the zika doesn't make it like literally married to that brother to make it like a bona fide tzaras erva to exempt her from chalitza, but it requires chalitza and not yibum. Because on some level she's like the co-wife of his wife's sister through the bond of his brother who passed away that second time. Not only that, even if one of the brothers who's married to the sisters subsequently divorced his wife after the one who was married to the unrelated woman, after he passed away, and he didn't even marry that nachris, that unrelated woman. Umeis magarish. Now, then after he had already divorced his wife, only then did he die. Still, haray nachris chalitz v'nimus abemus. That random woman's going to have to have chalitz and not yibum. Why? Because since for one moment she was the co-wife of his wife's sister, which was that one who died, who had divorced actually that sister, but for one moment they were this, so to speak, co-wives before he divorced his wife, where even now she's going to have the halacha that he cannot do yibum with her. Why? It's a rabbinic concern, because shem tisyabim, if we're going to allow yibum, which really we should allow, because by the time he died, which we said at the time of death, she wasn't a tzara, and we said it's only at the time of death, but shem yavu liyam maisa, because if he's going to do yibum, then they might come to do yim with her. Even in the case where this last one who died didn't divorce his wife, which is one of the sisters, which is going to come out, that unrelated woman is going to be the tzara of a chayis ishtei with zika, which is forbidden to the third brother. And therefore, even when he did do divorce, even so, rabbinically, we consider that as forbidden to do yim and only la chalitza. Now, in halacha above, the Ram continues, then, if that's the case, so why didn't he make this decree when there was marriage? Sharit Saras Erva Benisun, as we explained in the previous halacha, the co-wife of an erva through marriage, they were married together, not just zika. The halacha is Mgirish as erva meis. We had mentioned earlier that if the husband had divorced the erva and then he died, Tsarasim Tes Liyavim, the co-wife is permitted to the yavim, Kamesh Be'anu, like we explained in halacha of Alev. So why is zika worse than that of marriage? If anything, it's just a zika. Marriage, you said, if he did divorce her before he died, it's actually permitted. So the Rambam, because the prohibition of the co-wife of an erva when they were married together, I mean the husband had married both of them, well that's well known, because that's biblical. No one's going to come to permit the co-wife if he had not divorced the erva. So if he did divorce, it's going to be permitted. But the Issa Tzaras erva bezika, but regarding the prohibition of the co-wife of an erva that was only a co-wife through the zika bond, any dula kol, it's not well known to everyone because that's only rabbinic. Never going to come to permit the co-wife of ever, even if the ever was not divorced. So because of that preventative, we have to go so far to forbid it, even if he had divorced her before he died. Halacha of Zayin Ram continues regarding a very unique case, a rabbinic invention, so to speak, of a yivama that has two zikais on her. As Rambam explains, Shlesha Achen, three brothers. Nesuin Sholosh Noshim Nachri is married to three random women. Meis Echemim, one of the brothers died. Va'asa Sheni Maimer Bivimta. So one of the two remaining brothers did Maimer, which is a rabbinic kedushin, in the Yavama. Umeis Kaim Shiyichnes. And he died before he was able to consummate and do Yibum on that Yavama. Now, Benaf Lushtein Lefnei Yavam. Now, both wives, that of the first brother and then of the second brother, both their wives falling in front of the third brother, the Yavam. Why? The woman that had the mimer done with the second brother, when she had been widowed from the first brother, in some level she has a bond of two yevamen on her. Because as long as the second brother didn't do yibum, the zika bond from the first brother is still there, because he didn't fully do yibum on her. Now, in addition, the zikah of the second brother is also on her, because since he did maimer on her, so when he dies, there's also a zikah of marrying his yavama, his widow. It's almost like as if she's the wife of two dead brothers. And the sages, they expounded, and they said, it says in the Torah, eshes ha-meis. He has to do yima on the wife of the dead person, which is singular, but eshes ha-meis, not the wife of two brothers that died. Any woman that has on her the bond of two of the brothers, you only do chalitza nadibum, so to the co-wife, you'll do chalitza only. And really, says Rambam Yisurim and Divrei Sofrim, the prohibition is really from rabbinic law as a gezera. Because maybe people are going to say that two yivamas that come from one house, meaning from one husband, could do yibum, but since only rabbinically forbidden, the divrei requires chalitza. Halach chavches. But why can't you do chalitza to the woman that had a maimer, that has on her this bond from two other brothers? So once you do chalitza to her, then why can't you do yibum to the co-wife? That's a concern. That people shouldn't say you could have two yivamas from one house, where here this brother, the second brother to die, you're going to do chalitza on the balas maimer, and then you're going to do, because you can't marry the wife of two dead people, so do chalitza, and then you're going to do the yibum on the other one, where it looks like it's from one person, which really it's not, it's just that he had done a maimer. People are going to think that achas chalitza v'achas mirsi abemis, that you can do chalitza on one, which is what he's doing in the balas maimer, and then do yibum on the other, which that you can't do, because what's called, once you were loyban, the shub loyivna, as we had said in Perak Aleph, once you didn't build one, that you did chalitza, you can't do yibum on the other one. Therefore, they said that even the co-wife is going to be forbidden. And even if you would want to do yibum first, and then do chalitza afterwards to the Baal Samayim, that would also be forbidden, because then you might do chalitza first, and then the yibum, and then, which will be in the same problem as we're mentioning here. Halacha chavtes. If someone does a maimer in his yavama, get lamamari. And then after he did a maimer, he gave her a maimer, he gave a get for that maimer, which is undoing that maimer, the mason, then he passed away. So chazalat she goes back to her initial permissibility, where, as if he didn't do anything, because the maimer that made her forbidden to anyone else, he nullified. And so the remaining brother, if he wants to, he could do chalitza, or he could do that of yibum. Now, halacha lamed, says the Rambam, ben tesha shel yamechad, if you have a 9-year-old, shabal yivimte, that he cohabits with his yavama, umis kishukadin, and he dies when he's still a minor, v'nafel pam shneil lefnei achav gadol, and now that the younger brother died, which this younger brother had done yavam from a different brother, now it's falling a second time in front of the older brother. Here the third brother, who is an adult, who saw she be widowed from two of his brothers, he has to chalitza not yibum. Why? Shabiyas ben tesha shenim emechad, because the cohabitation of this 9-year-old is kamaim nagol kamesh ranu. It's like the maimer from an adult brother, as we had explained this in Perek Hey Halach Yud Ches. But nimtzolah zikah shnei yavam. So it comes out that really she's like this category of a balas maimer, which has the zikah of two yavamin, which again, rabbinically we said, that you do chalitza not yibum, so although he had done bia, but his bia is like the status of a maimer. Halach lam and alf. Misha chetzi shiv v'chetzi baschayin, a woman that was half maidservant and half a free woman. Sheneskatcha l'ruven, that she was engaged to Ruven. Now, her kedushin is not fulfilled until she gets freed, because you can't marry a shivcha. But he had engaged her, because she was half free. But then in the shachar, then she was freed. The husband is Kachal Shimon, and then subsequently when she was freed, she got engaged to Shimon. Now, and Reuven didn't divorce her, so now essentially, as the Gemara explains, she's like doubtfully engaged to both of them. Because like the Gemara Gittin Daf Mem Gimel says, on the one hand, if you say that when you free her, you could say that maybe that excludes, that removes the original Kedushin, because now that she became totally freed, she becomes like a regular Jewish woman. And like any woman that becomes Jewish, like becomes a Geirah, she's like a newborn person, and therefore she's like, whatever happened before was non-existent, and now the Kedushin of the second person is going to take effect. Or do you say that no, actually the Sheikh is going to conclude the Kedushin that he started when she was half free, and actually that it makes her full-fledged now the wife of the first one, and therefore actually the second one's forbidden, and therefore his Kedushin is not going to take effect. So it's this doubtful situation that two brothers had done Kedushin. We're not sure actually who is the Kedushin for. Now both brothers, Reuben and Shimon, passed away without any children. This woman that was one point Chatzi Shefer Chatzi Baskarin, that became a full-fledged Baskarin, Levi, the third brother, could do Yib Manar, Ve'ina Eshesh Neim Esim. And this, as the Rambam is coming to explain, is not the problem what we said in the previous halachas as the wife of two dead people to say, oh, she's half to Reuben, half to Shimon. No. As the Rambam explains, because in Kedushin, Reuben Kedushin, as we explained, if the Kedushin of Reuben was a valid Kedushin, which was fulfilled and completed when she was freed, so in Kedushin of Shimon Klum, that means to say the Kedushin of Shimon was non-existent at all, because Kedushin not Tevis in an Eshesh Ish. If the Kedushin of Shimon is a valid Kedushin, because, like we said, that the freeing of her in between actually removes the Reuben's Kedushin, then in Kedushin Reuben Klum, then Reuben's Kedushin is nothing. So it comes out, at the end of the day, she's only the wife of one dead person. We don't know which one it is, but Manav Shach, either one, it's going to be the wife of only one of the brothers, and therefore Levi could do a valid Yib Manar.